Again, I appreciate the good singing tonight, and we're going to change the order of service this time, and I want to call your attention to the word of the Lord. You give Brother Buck your attention as he comes and pray for him while he speaks to us the message that God has given him. So we invite him to come this time. He's a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee, so pray for him.
I first of all want to thank Brother Miller for allowing me to come and stand in this pulpit. I know he is to guard this pulpit, and I appreciate him having enough confidence in me to allow me to come and to fill this pulpit tonight. I want to thank this church for allowing me to be here tonight, and I'm so thankful to be back in Fairview Memorial. And I hope and pray that God continues to bless this people. When me and my wife got ready to come this afternoon, and I got up and started getting ready to come, I became fearful tonight, and I'm very afraid tonight. I don't want to fail the Lord. I feel like I've been a failure for a long time. And one thing I don't want to do is fail the Lord Jesus tonight. I want to honor him somehow. And I want to speak on a subject that I feel like God has given me, and I hope it'll help this people. I think it'll be very beneficial for all of our people, especially our younger people. It seems that a lot of our younger people have better things to do, or so they think, than to serve the Lord and to join themselves together with God's people and bring honor and glory to Christ. But the longer I live, the more I learn, and the more I see, the more I understand that it's so important for us to have a right heart before God and to honor Him for the benefit of our children and their children, our loved ones, and everyone coming behind us on this road of glory. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me, if you would, to the third chapter of the book of Philippians tonight, and I want to take a scriptural reading lesson from there. The third chapter of the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I would read the whole chapter, but it might take a little while, but we'll just read just a few verses. Starting in verse 8, as Paul writes to this Philippian letter, as he wrote this Philippian letter, there was a theme in this Philippian letter that was so prevalent. He kept telling these people to be like-minded over and over and over again throughout this whole book of the book of Philippians. And as you end up in the final chapter of this book of Philippians, he talks about two brethren. And evidently, from what I can understand, these two brethren were kind of at odds with each other. This church was evidently a sound church in the faith. They practiced and they preached the right things, but these two brethren were evidently at odds with one another, and because of this, and you find it in anywhere you go, when a people is at odds, the Spirit of God is not going to meet with a people like that as He could. But we find in the third chapter, we find here, and I want to read real quickly, and it says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, I have that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things." That's reading the 8th verse through the 16th verse for a reading lesson tonight. Now, I want you to think about some things that had taken place here in this third chapter. Paul, he started off this chapter in talking about having confidence in the flesh. And he said, he told these people at Philippi that he said, if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, he says, me above all people should have all kinds of confidence in my flesh. I should have more. You find that in about the 4th verse. He said, I the more should have confidence in the flesh. But we find that as he goes on and he begins to speak, if you remember, Paul was a man, and he talked about that persecuted the church of Jesus Christ, and he killed the people of God, and he put them in prison, and he done awful things to God's people. But if you remember, there in the book of Acts, that how that as he was going down the road to Damascus, how that God revealed himself, Jesus revealed himself to Paul, and there on that road to Damascus, Paul, he fell upon his face, and somewhere in all of that, Paul repented of his sins, placed his faith in Christ, and he was made a new creature in Christ Jesus, born again by the Spirit of God, made alive by the Spirit of God, given a promise of glory one day after a while, where he would live in heaven with Jesus, the one that came, bled, suffered, and died, and gave his life for you and I, and rose again. He had a promise in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, he said, I give all these things up that I have obtained in the world. He said, I give them up for the excellency of Christ Jesus. He said, and I just count them as dung. He realized that the things of this world was nothing compared to what God and Christ Jesus is in his life. And he goes on and he says in verse 9, he said, and this was his desire, to be found in him, not having his own righteousness. He had what he considered the righteousness, which was of the law. He thought he was doing right. He had covered himself in self-righteousness, thought him persecuting the church and throwing God's people in prison was what God would have for him to do. But when he met Jesus on the road of Damascus, that was imputed to him, the righteousness that come from God himself, from the throne of glory, which was imputed in him. And Paul's desire was, he said, not having his own righteousness, but that which was through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is by God through faith. That was what Paul's desire was, that he had the righteousness of God. Now, my friend, I believe this tonight as I stand before you. When we are saved by the grace of God, we're given the earnest of the Spirit. You find that over there in the book of Ephesians, that He gives us the earnest of His Spirit. He makes us alive. But it don't stop there. We must grow, and we must grow and continue to become more Christ-like each day of our life. I want to show you that if I can. Now, his desire was that he had the righteousness of God. He talks about being apprehended, and how he said that I am not apprehended yet. He goes on and look in verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." He said, "I press towards the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I've heard many things about what this high calling of God is, and you may have your own opinion about what it is. But my friend, when we're saved by the grace of God, we're saved and we're given the earnest of the Spirit of God. And my friend, we're not to stop there. We're to grow, and we're to have a sanctified life. We're to become Christ-like, more and more Christ-like each day that we live. It don't stop. Though that you've been in the way for 10 years and you ain't finished growing yet, and I haven't either. There's still a mark that we got to reach towards. There's still a mark that we got to reach towards. And one day after a while, we'll never truly be perfect in this flesh. But my friend, we can grow till we are plain and above reproach of this world. And no matter where we go and what we say, people all around about us, our children, our loved ones, our friends, our families, our mamas, our daddies, all people, when they see us, they'll see how we walk and see how we talk, they'll say, "That man has God in him." You see, there's a high calling that we've got to reach, or we're to strive for. Notice what Paul, as he began to talk about this, he said, "I press towards the mark," indicating to me that it's not an easy fight. It's not an easy road to live a sanctified life. It don't. It begins the day that you're saved by the grace of God. But my friend, as you travel that road that Jesus had laid out before you, my friend, it's not easy. It's a hard way sometimes, and the road gets rough, and it has a lot of bumps here and there, and sometimes it knocks us backwards. But my friend Paul said, "I'm continuing to press towards that mark." He wanted to be more and more like Christ. He wanted his life to reflect Jesus. When people looked at him, he wanted them to see a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that that came, my friend, to walk upon this low land of sin and sorrow, raising the dead and healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and having compassion and love to all that were around about. He wanted his life to reflect Christ. You see, but my life, right after I get saved, it will reflect Christ, but it's got to reflect more and more clearly as I grow, that all people see is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to live a sanctified life. The book of 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this about the Lord. He says, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. Now listen to what he says. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Listen to this part. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Peter said in the book of Peter, in chapter 1 Peter 1 and 16, he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." In other words, Jesus, my friend, he said here in 2 Corinthians 5, he said that Jesus knew no sin. He had no sin about him. He lived a perfect life. He lived perfectly in the flesh. Peter says that we're to be holy. We're to be Christ-like. We're to reach towards that mark. In other words, you'll never be perfect, because Paul said over there in the book of Romans in chapter 7, verse 15, he says, that which I would do, I do not. Talking about the sin, the lust, the sin that was in the flesh that he had to deal with day by day. These things he was going to have to deal with. He'd never be perfect, but he was to strive to be holy and to be just like Jesus Christ each day of his life, to plane above sin, to plane above that, that the world would just see Jesus in us. He wanted to have a sanctified life, not only at church on Sunday morning, but at work on Monday morning. And sometimes that's hard to do, ain't it? We deal with so many things in the flesh, and the world gets so hard, and so many things come at us. Sometimes we forget who we are. But there's a remedy for that also, and I'll show you that in just a moment. But we're to reach for the mark. The high calling of God, is more than just being saved by the grace of God. It's striving to reflect Christ Jesus in what we do, in what we say, in how we walk. And we're to try to be closer and closer each day that we strive to be that. We're to be sanctified a little more each day. Now, if you go back, let's finish the third chapter of Philippians. He was pressing towards the mark. It's not an easy way, but he was pressing to get there. But listen to this. He said, "Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded." Now, I'm sure that there's not anybody here tonight that is perfect. But I tell you, in my soul, when Jesus saved me, my inward man became perfect and became just exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart and my soul, that new creature that lives inside of me is perfect as the Lord is. And when he gave me the earnest of his spirit, my friend, I want you to know when he done that, he didn't stop there, but he sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise. He has sealed it up inside. It's safe as it could ever be. And my friend, there ain't nobody or no thing. Paul says, I believe that there's nothing that can take me out of the hands of God, out of the hands of Christ. He said, because he sealed me up. It's the greatest safe that a man has ever known. Nobody can take away that which God has given me, that imputed righteousness. Because when he imputed it, then he put a lock on it. And it's locked and it's safe. It'll stay safe. I'm saved by grace until the day of redemption. And one day after a while, my friend, if I'm still here when Christ comes back, I'm going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and I shall fly away. Now, Paul said those that are perfect, not in the flesh, but those that have been made perfect in their soul, be thus minded. What's he saying? Have a mind. And this is so important that we teach our young people. Teach the old people. Teach them all. We need to strive to be more and more like Jesus, reflecting him each day of our life, that the world might see and they say, there goes a man or a lady of God. There's something different. I'm a big Western fan. I love to watch cowboy movies. I watch them all the time whenever I get a chance. like John Wayne and all these movies I watched on the other night. And in this movie, I don't know what religion these people were, but a man had come in and a lady had fell in love with him, but he was an outsider and they casted him out because he wasn't exactly like them. The Bible says that we're to be separate. We're not to be like the world is, but we're not to cast them away from us even though they may be different. You see, we're to show ourselves. Paul said to be ye separate, come out from among them and be ye separate. But he did not say that he wasn't mean that we couldn't be friends with them, that we couldn't love them. He meant that we're to live a life that we're to plane above sin, that we're to show forth Christ in our lives, and that maybe we might be able to help this lost soul over here come to the knowledge and the understanding that Jesus died for them. He gave His life for them just as He did us, and that they might somewhere fall on their face and repent and be saved by the grace of God. We can't cast somebody out just because they're not just like us, but we're to be Christ-like. Why did He come? He said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. And my friend, that's the same heart and the same mind that we must have each day of our life. We must be like-minded. He said, if you be perfect, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're to love a lost and dying world. You're not to cast them away. I'm better than you. But you're to try to help them to see Jesus, that they might be saved. That's why Jesus came. That's why He was here, to seek and to save that which was lost. And we have the same goal that He had. The very same. He said, and if in any other thing you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto you have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. We're to mind the things of God. I love to go to the lake and play in the water. But my friend, when it comes time to go to church, the boat stays at home. When it's time to serve God, then the boat needs to stay at home. When it's time to serve God, and it's time to try to honor Him, then we need to do our very best to honor Him. Amen. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life a little, but don't let it get in front of God. Don't let it take Jesus away from. Don't let it break the glass window that people don't see a reflection of Christ. Serve Him. Honor Him. Now, there is a way that, you know, that we can do all things. How do we become more Christ-like? How do we do that? It's got to start after we get saved. And we've got to let it grow day by day. And as we grow day by day, you know, then we can get a little deeper into things of God, and then we could grow and we could truly understand the person of God the best that we can in the flesh. But let's know how Peter said that we do that. How do we become Christ-like? He said, therefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envies and evil speaking, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, how do we begin to grow in Christ? How do we start to grow and to have a sanctified life? Peter said that you're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. You're to desire the simple things of the Lord. And sometimes I fear that sometimes we as men of God, we try to get too deep for those that are around about us, and the little ears that are sitting under the gospel sometimes may not understand. But my friend, it's the simple things of the Word of God that will cause a soul to realize their lost condition. It's the simple things of the Word of God that will cause young Christians to begin to grow and help them to have a desire to serve and to honor God. If we make it complicated, then sometimes I'm afraid we might run people off. If they make it too hard and make it sound too hard, but it's make it simple for them. The simplicity of the gospel is what is effective. The simple things of God's word will cause people to grow. Now listen, he goes on and he said, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto lively stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, an offering up a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, what was he saying there in that last verse? Is he said, ye are also lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Now, when somebody first gets saved by the grace of God, they do have the Spirit of God in their, they have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. They have access to the Holy Spirit. They have access to the knowledge of God. But my friend, they're not a spiritual giant when they first start off. I can only say that I've seen one that was really spiritual right after she got saved. And she shouted every time I was around her. I never failed to see her shout. She's Harvey Ambrose's young daughter that died just a few years ago. But every time you was around her, she was shouting the praises of God. She was a spiritual young lady. But there's a difference in being spiritual and having spiritual knowledge. When you first are saved, you're just a babe. And sometimes as you go to churches, sometimes you wonder about them. They're so spiritually dead and there's no spirit there and wonder what's going on. And sometimes it's just they've gotten so far away from God, they've lost sight of what they should be. They have forgotten and they've not, they don't have the mind of Christ and they have forgotten what they're there for. But listen. He said, you're a spiritual house. What did he mean by that? When I first read that, I struggled with it. And I thought, well, what does he mean? What does this actually mean? And I pulled out my books, and I looked at this, and I looked at that. I looked at this and that. And what he's actually saying there is that you are being built a spiritual house. You're not a spiritual house when you first get saved. You're not full of spiritual knowledge. Now, my friend, if you serve God and you look to Jesus, you study His Word, God, through His Spirit, will build you up and make you a spiritual house. It don't start instantly. But through the help of God. Have you ever read anything that you never understood and all of a sudden a light come on? Did you ever get, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just get so excited, I can't understand it. But you see, that's God's Spirit helping you to grow and helping you to have a sanctified life, helping you to grow up that you can reflect the Lord Jesus Christ and all men everywhere can see the Lord Jesus. That's what's important, ain't it? Is that the important thing? Is that our lost and dying world see Christ? That's why Jesus was here, wasn't it? How do we get there? Through study, right? It's part of it. But there's even a more important part to all that things. In the book of Ephesians, and this was another verse that got my attention, that when I thought I understood this and thought I had no problem with it. But look at verse 18 in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Look at this verse. He says, praying always. Now listen, he was talking about, as he began this chapter off, and he was talking about the fight that we're going to have with the devil. If you've been saved by the grace of God and you try to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and you try to honor Christ in your life, my friend, the devil's going to be there on every side. You say, Paul, what did he say? I pressed towards the mark. It wasn't an easy road because the devil's right there and he's trying to push you on the out of the road and push you over here in the ditch and shove you off over here in the hollow and get you all out of whack and make all things difficult. He's talking here, he says, talking about them, the fighting against the devil. And he tells them to put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. But listen to verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto and with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I thought I understood that verse, but then somebody read that the other day and it said, for all saints. I thought, what is he talking about? Why did he say all saints? Did you ever think about that? Why did he say all saints? Was it a duty? What was this? So I began to break this verse down and I studied this verse and I think I've come to an understanding of what Paul was telling these Philippians. He was telling them how they were to put on the whole armor of God, how they were to keep this whole armor of God on and all these things. Now listen to what I got out my interlinear to the Bible and I laid it down and I began to break this verse down and try to understand this. And if you break it down, it says, it should say this, that through all prayer and petition, how do we keep put on the whole armor of God? How do we keep the whole armor of God on? How do we grow and become sanctified in Christ Jesus, and how do we reflect the Lord God to this lost and dying world? He says prayer and supplication, but it should say through prayer and supplication. Through prayer and petition, we go to God and we lay it right out on the line and say, God, I need your help, and I need this in my life, and I need that in my life, and we beg God for his help and his understanding to show us, to grow us, to make us a mirror image of Christ. How do we do it? He said, through prayer and petition. Now listen to what else he said. Look, let's go on. He says, praying at every time in the Spirit and watching to the same thing. Now what's he talking about? He said, praying praying at every time in the Spirit and watching to the same thing. Now what did he begin this discourse of? He began it about how the devil was there on every side. We was going to have to fight with the devil. We was going to have to press on. But as we pressed on, there was going to be a war with the devil. And the only way to get through that is we was going to have to put on the whole armor of God. Therefore, to put on the armor of God, we was going to have to pray. But my friend, we was going to have to continue praying in the Spirit, watching for the devil on every side, even though we had already put on this armor. The devil was still going to come, and he may come at any direction. We're to watch unto the same thing. Always watching and never taking your eyes off the mark of God. Never taking your eyes off of Christ. One of my favorite things that in the whole armor of God, as he talked about, he said that have your feet shod with the preparation of gospel and take it above. He said, above all things, take the shield of faith. That's one of my favorite parts of the whole armor of God. We need the whole armor of God, but one of my favorite parts is that Jesus. It's my shield of faith. He gets right out in front of me and he protects me on every side. He's my shield of faith. You see, if I hold on to Christ and follow him, the fiery darts of the devil cannot destroy me. They may be all around, but they'll never destroy me when I follow Christ. Now listen. And he said to do this same thing with all perseverance, being steadfast. Steadfast in the faith of God. Knowing that this holy God that you serve, this Jesus that came and bled, suffered, and died, he said, I'll be with you always. He told the church that. I'll be with you always until even to the end of the world. My friend, if we need to believe that. And no matter how bad some things may seem, my friend, we just stand and be steadfast and follow Christ. And never take our eyes off the mark and continue reaching for that mark. Now listen to what is the end part of that. And petition concerning the saints. In other words, I'm to pray for myself that I'm to get to put on the whole armor of God. I'm to watch, even though I put it on, I'm to keep my eye on Christ. And I'm to watch on every side because here comes the devil somewhere. But I'm also to pray for my brothers and sisters that they can put on the whole armor of God and that they keep it on. And that we all are striving to the, pressing towards the mark, the high calling of God. We're all striving for that. And we all reach it. We'll never truly get there, but we can come close. We can come close to that mark. We can plane above sin. And we can bring great honor and glory to God through Christ Jesus. It all starts with what the Lord Jesus gives you when you get saved. It starts there. Do you remember the story of the talents? Think about that story. He gave one 5. He gave one 2. And he gave one talent. And he went away. The one with 5 doubled it. He had 10. The one with 2, he doubled his and he had 4. The one that he gave 1, he just kind of hid it. So he didn't want to lose it and give it back to him. And he didn't grow what he had. If you don't do anything with what God has given you in your soul when he saved you, you'll always remain a babe in Christ. You'll never reflect Christ, and you'll never help anyone truly find the foot of the cross that they might get saved. You've got to grow that which God has given you. You've got to reach for the high calling of God. And one day after a while, my friend, there's coming a day when Christ is going to bust that eastern sky and he's going to come and he's going to take his children home and there they'll forever be with the Lord. Then we'll be perfect. But now we need to strive in this life to be perfect. We'll never reach it, but we can plane above sin and we can reflect Christ. You have got to grow in Christ. I've got to grow in Christ. There's a great gap, a generation gap here tonight. Why is it? Somehow or another, we're not growing our people up. And they're falling away. They're not out there reflecting the Lord Jesus that souls might be saved. But if you'll reach for the high calling of God and reflect Christ, you'll change Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I hope you do, because I got nieces and nephews that live in this very town that's soon going to need the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to need to be saved. And I hope that this church, if no others, in the whole state of Kentucky does anything, I hope you begin to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ and you see thousands upon thousands saved and you have to put a loft in here and bust out the walls. It's possible. Do you believe that? Did on the day of Pentecost, didn't he? Was it, 3,000 saved in one day? It could happen today. He's still the same God. But are we the same people as they were? Are we really reflecting Jesus? God bless you is my prayer. I hope I've said something that's helped you tonight. Brother Miller.
I appreciate the good message, good admonishment, good instruction for us as God's people. I think so often we can hear a lot of things. We do hear a lot of things. I mean, those of us that are in this room tonight, we hear a lot of preaching. We hear preaching, the preaching of God's Word from week after week. And we heard a good message tonight. And I think so many times of what James wrote, and I think what he was just saying was, what will you do with it? What will you really do with it? Because he wrote and he said that, we need to be doers of the Word and not just hearers of the Word. And so I was thinking about that towards the end of Brother Buck's message. I was sitting there thinking, what will we do with what we've heard here tonight? I hope we'll put it to use. I hope we'll apply it to our lives. Brother Strode, if you would, let's have a song. And I want us to have a hand of Christian fellowship with each other. I've enjoyed being with all of you again today. And I want us to...